everybody, welcome to another episode of the Comic Book Legion podcast, where we are talking about a book that I would have never expected that I would have ever have read in my entire life, which is Go Power Rangers.
I owe this all to Clay. I am so excited to talk about this book, because this was a book that when I first saw the cover, I think this was my actual introduction to Dan Mora. Like, just seeing this cover online, I was like, oh my god, what is this? Now, of course, me being a huge Power Ranger fan, I was really excited that another Power Ranger series was coming to comics. But to see that art, I was like, I'm sold. Like, I will go ahead and pay whatever money I have to do whatever. And I actually got, there's, in the first volume, it's probably at the back of yours, but there's a, like, a long, like, I guess, showcase of all of the variant covers. I have, like, a majority of those. So.
Really?
Yeah. I was the kind of person early on in both Power Rangers series that are like, eh, just give me all the covers. I'm good. Just go ahead and give them to me. And, you know, I always jump the gun on stuff like that, and then I realize, crap, this is super expensive. So, now I have to pick and choose.
Yeah, sometimes I feel like that can be, that's what kind of gets me with, like, an Action 1000 or a Detective 1000. I just feel like I need to get these.
Yeah.
But then, $100 later, I'm like, oh, God, I'm probably only going to display one of these.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I gotta say, with Power Rangers, just to give you an idea, I'm not, like, opposed to them.
Okay.
Because the original Power Rangers, you know, back in the day, like in the 90s, mm-hmm. we had at our small little church school, I mean, it's considered a school, but let's not kid ourselves, it was kind of like a homeschool.
Okay.
Of just all the kids that went to that church.
Yeah.
For some reason, we had this huge tradition, whatever day it was on, I don't remember, where all of us would get to the church about an hour before school actually starts. So we would get there, like, at 6 a.m. just so that we could watch, like, the new episode of Power Rangers.
That's awesome.
Yes. So, I mean, at that time, it was huge. I was always Jason. And I think I was always Jason because I was maybe, I don't know, I'm 8 years old, but I was, like, 6 feet maybe. Who knows? Because I'm a freak of nature. So, like, none of the kids, like, really, like, fought against it.
Uh-huh.
They just, like, accepted, okay. And then I was really bad. I was, like, pissed off because then later, like, Tommy shows up.
And then you're
like, who's this green guy with the flute?
It's like, what? I'm the leader. What the hell? No, I will admit, I've loved Power Rangers ever since I was a kid. And me and my brother loved Power Rangers ever since we were kids. We watched the movie. We had the Sega game. Like, I have a really awesome memory one year. I don't remember what happened to my older brother. I don't know if he was with my mom or with other family members. But me and my dad, one year, went to his old high school. And there was still it was like one of those schools that's like legit from like kindergarten all the way to high school. Like, it's all in one building.
Well, that's how my church school
was. Okay.
But it was till high school, but then I guess by the time I was in eighth grade, my school,
it like separated
went down from, no, it just went from like 200 kids to like 18.
Oh, okay.
So then I had to go to an actual public school where there's like 4 murders a year.
Jesus.
Yeah.
But the school that we went to, that he drove me to, actually had like a playground outside. And my dad at the time, I think, was in his like mid 20s. And he legit played Power Rangers with me. I have fond memories of Power Rangers. I kind of jumped off of it whenever I was in high school, you know, middle school, high school, whatever. But a friend of mine from back in my high school days, like once we had graduated, he had told me, oh yeah, there's so much more after the original series. And I spent the next year and a half, watching every single series. Well, not every single series, because early on in the franchise, their seasons were like 50 episodes long, 50 to 56 episodes long. And I had a rule. If I could make it through the first 10 episodes without thinking it's too cringy, then I would watch the whole thing. I have skipped a lot of Power Rangers series. A lot. Don't get me wrong. because they did not make the 10-episode cut. So I've watched a majority of Power Rangers, and at one point, back in like 2014, 2015, I actually did some charity work. I bought a $1,000 Red Ranger suit, and I was a part of a cosplay group and did a lot of charity with it. I have some pictures that I might actually post onto the Comic Book Legion Twitter account today, showing some of that stuff. And I was a part of a group called the Texas Power Rangers. It was a group of my friends that we all cosplayed, and we got invited to go to different conventions around Texas for free.
That's awesome.
Yeah. We made the front page in Lubbock one year. It was awesome. Really cool experience, and so much so that my friends actually started up a convention here in San Antonio that is basically built up upon Power Rangers. So I'm a big Power Rangers nerd. I think I always will be. I don't know. But when you said that you wanted to go ahead and review this book, I was like, yes, finally. Finally.
I don't want it to always... I feel like if you don't go outside your circle, you'll never grow.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's life, but it's also in something like this, and I don't want it to be where I'm just only reading things that I would want to read.
Yeah.
I want it to be something that it kind of stretches me where it might not hit, and then if it doesn't hit, okay. I mean, you went for it.
Yeah.
So... I figured I know how much you like it. I'm like, you know what? We did House of M. Let's kind of do something. I'm like, you know what? Let's do the Power Rangers. Now, I will admit, when I thought Power Rangers, I thought of Kyle Higgins.
Yeah.
That was my first thought, and I think I mentioned that before. Now, I don't know if the Higgins stuff goes and jumps into this, and this is just now Ryan Parrott, and Dan Mora's, you know, like their version of kind of like a sequel. I don't know. Is that the case?
No. So Kyle Higgins, where he starts with the Green Ranger. So it's after Tommy has already gotten his Green Ranger powers. This, if you notice in the very beginning, this is like hours after they get their powers for the very first time. So yeah. This is more of a flashback. And then, around issue 12 of this series, Go-Go Power Rangers is the first tie-in for Shattered Grid in with Mighty Morphin. So they do intertwine.
Okay, because Shattered Grid had some of the greatest covers. I own the covers without reading them.
Oh, I own every single cover for Shattered Grid. That was one that I needed to
because
have.
It looked amazing.
Yeah.
So I have them. I haven't read them because I didn't want to. I just loved how the covers looked. But I don't know, man. I read this one, and man, I had a lot of fun.
Yeah,
I think awesome. This is definitely something which sucks for my wallet because now I'm gonna have to buy, you know, all the like six volumes.
Yeah,
but I will say that I'm actually a really big Ryan Parrott fan.
I think his
writing is it's tight
really,
and it's funny.
I really enjoy Ryan Parrott. He is currently doing I can't remember if it's a Comixology or an Aftershock book right now. But because of what he has done with Power Rangers, I definitely want to jump onto that.
Wait, does Comixology do their own original stuff?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not so big into like digital comics.
Yeah.
Besides, like, whatever, I like to read, so Comixology is only, like, something that, like, saves me in case I don't really feel like paying for something.
Yeah, I know that that recently, like, Chip Zdarsky did a series on Comixology, but I think Ryan Parrott recently did one also. I think it was something like a... Man, what was...
Well, there's one that's called here, like, Dead Day.
Yes, Dead Day. That's what it is.
Yeah, well, right now it's like a pre-order. It hasn't even come out yet.
Yeah, that's the one that's going to come out then, yeah.
Okay.
Dead Day is nice. Going to come out. And then he recently said that he pitched, or he's about to pitch a TV series. So he has become one of my new, like, list, on the list of, like, writers to, like, look out for sure. because what he's done with the Power Rangers. Because recently, once Kyle Higgins left, there was a short, like, 6-issue run of somebody else who wrote it for a Beyond the Grid type, like, aftermath of Shattered Grid. But but after that, Ryan Parrott started writing both series, both Mighty Morphin and this one, and he did a crossover again with...
Okay.
It was called Necessary Evil, and I haven't finished that one because I did fall off the book for a while, for about 5 months, but now, because of all this, I am going back to it, at least, I think, next week. So...
Nice. I will say, I will stand by Dan Mora is way too sexy for Batman, but... I don't know if this was... I don't think it was New 52, because I think this was like during when Tim Drake had the Red Robin suit. Not the New 52 design. The other one. The one that like...
Oh, the one that looks like Sandman. From...
Yes. Yeah. Okay.
I always got him mistaken for Sandman in the JSA.
Now, do you remember his run during DC back then?
Yes.
With an artist named like Marcus Toe.
That very much looks like Dan Mora. Yeah.
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 So for me, I read this, I'm like, okay, I could definitely see this be like a Red Robin. Kinda like something like that if it was to be Gotham.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, Tim Drake or, you know, like a Nightwing. I could see Nightwing.
I would love him on Nightwing. Now, I do know that recently his only interior work on DC was the Terrifics, but since the start of Rebirth, I think, he has been doing random covers for DC. That including, like, Titans, Teen Titans. I think he did one for Deathstroke. But he has done random work. He's done one for Batman Beyond, I think, as well. And it's just like, man, this guy needs to do interior work. He needs more interior work. He does a really good job with a lot of these characters. I love the aesthetic that he's given, like, each character here. And I don't know. I think this is what made me fall in love with Dan Mora and his art. I would love
For good reason.
I would love him on a Nightwing. Holy crap. That would be awesome.
Yeah, I mean, this looks... I mean, it looks really good. I mean, there's no other way to say that this is one of the prettiest books that I've seen.
Yeah.
Recently. Like, it's... I mean, wow. Like, I don't even know how to explain it, because this... I love how... I mean, he uses, like, simple colors, but they pop out so much that it's... I'm like, wow. Like, every page. I don't see... Even with the background, because I... That's something that I always give, like, really, like, mad props to, like, a Liam Sharp for always, like, paying attention to every detail. Like, I gotta give it to Mora also.
Yeah.
Because I feel like there's very little to no defects in any of his work. And I felt like I was immediately going to love his art on the second panel. Like, after they fought, I'm not gonna remember names.
Goldar.
So please forgive... Like, thank you. I was gonna say the monkey. And you kind of see all of them, like, just on top of their... What's it called? Zorg?
Their Megazord? Yeah.
Zord?
Yeah.
Megazord, yeah. And just that image alone, I was like, God, that's a gorgeous image.
I will say, recently, a lot of...
I wish that was like the Virgin.
Yeah.
Where it just didn't have text.
Yeah.
And take out the bottom panels. Just that one on its own. I was like, man, that is a great... That's a great imagery.
Recently, Ryan Parrott, there's an actual podcast that called the Ranger Danger Podcast or something like that. They actually call it the Boom Room, and they interview him on the books that had released that week. And you can actually go and find it. And he is a writer that is super passionate about what he writes. And you can tell by how enthusiastic he is. I absolutely love his enthusiasm with it. But Ryan, the podcast, and like several other people have recently started to reread this. And everybody has said that panel that you're talking about is the number one panel in that first issue. Like, that is the panel.
No, that's gold, dude. Like, it is gold. And I don't know, man. It's, I think every design, like the character's designs, loved it.
Mm-hmm.
I think with Ryan Parrott, I mean, The dude's got to be funny in real life. I mean, I've never heard him speak, but this guy, he's got to be maybe one of those dudes that are just super hyper that just, like, pump you up and make you want to, like, run through a building. Because it's the way that he writes. I mean, I enjoy it. It kind of feels like this is how youth should sound.
Yeah.
You know? And if you listen to past episodes, I'm not, like, calling out. I think we talked about it last week, how maybe it's just, like, some older guy shouldn't.
Yeah.
But I'm just, it's not a reference to that. But when I read this, I was like, I feel like this is where you're having youth talk.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, you know, it's good. Like, it's nice. It's clean. They're not trying to push anything to it, yeah, where they're trying to just overfeed you with whatever's trending.
Yeah.
That's why I think I really enjoyed it. And it's sharp. It's really sharp. It's tight. I mean, I went through this. I read all six issues, and I think, yeah, like in a day and a half with, like, the way, because normally I'll read, like, an issue, and then, you know, I just don't have the time. It's kind of nuts. Even with quarantine, you would think, but I don't know how I have no time when I'm doing nothing. But I find ways to, like, make myself busy. But I loved it, man.
Well, I will say there are some hints in this book that will trickle into Kyle Higgins' run.
Is that Arrival Day?
Arrival Day is the day that Rita Repulsa basically makes herself known. So the very first time, so that fight with Goldar, that first fight, that is Arrival Day. That is what they consider Arrival Day.
Okay.
And it does help a lot of people, like, with the timeline of Power Rangers, because the really cool thing, both Ryan Parrott and Kyle Higgins wanted to keep the show canon. So everything that happens in the book, in Mighty Morphin and in Go-Go Power Rangers, they kind of warp it around the show. And so there will be small little gaps, but there will be references to other things that you may remember from the show. So if anybody's jumping onto this book for the very first time because they wanted to know what how we felt about it, you may want to go onto Netflix and watch the first, like, 10 episodes. You know, refresh yourself and then start reading, you know, the series. Because they do throw hints at, like, oh, okay, if this is what happened, you know, in Volume 6, that means that they're, you know, this far along in the show, you know, type of thing.
Yeah.
So it is really, really cool that they want to be very respectful to the TV show and not, like, mess things up timeline-wise and character-wise. It is very cool. My biggest interest is Matt in this entire series.
Okay.
Now,
why so?
The reason why, I won't go too far into it because I really do want you to read the Kyle Higgins run, at least Volume 1, to see how you feel about it. But I will say, Matt Ryan is an artist. That's hilarious. Matt here in the book, he from volume for issue 1 until currently, he has only been in Go-Go.
Now let me preface this, because again, with me just jumping in and only reading 4 issues, names are still new to me. I know that's not is that who Kimberly is dating?
Yes, he is. Okay. He is not a Power Ranger. He is just a random person. So here's the thing: he has only been in Go-Go. So there's your one thing. And two, he is not in the show. So, okay, in my mind, being the fan that I am, either they're going to build more continuity onto this and, like, make something new, which I'm totally okay with because I like this character, especially how he is portrayed here in, you know, Volume 1. And, you know, as the book goes on, you do, you know, enjoy that character. But also, like, does this mean that he definitely has, like, a inevitable demise type of thing? Like, was he created basically just to die? And if so, how is it going to happen? You know, that is something that I still don't know because it hasn't been played out. I have asked Ryan during a Q&A that he had, and he's like, huh, he has only been in Go-Go. That's interesting. Nice catch. And I'm like, what does that mean? Like, you didn't answer my question. So, you know, I'm excited to see how it all turns out.
Now, Who? Because, again, I feel like the 90s TV show, it was always the Power Rangers against Rita.
Yeah.
And the, what are the, like, the Foot Clan-looking things?
Putty. The Putty Patrol, yeah.
Putty Patrol, okay. Who else, what else, like, what's the Power Rangers rogue gallery?
So, you will learn about another one.
I mean, you kind of get introduced to one, but yeah. I don't know if
so,
if that's...
So, in here, in Volume 1, you see the, like, right and left hand of Rita Repulsa with Goldar, with... Oh my gosh. I forgot everybody else's name. How did I forget everybody else's name? Finster.
I know who you're probably like, because they had like the little tech, the one that creates. Like,
yeah,
the,
Finster guess, is the monsters. Is the one that does the putty monsters, and then the other two who are complete idiots. And eventually, you actually learn how they became a part of Rita's army, like both of them, which is really cool, and really shows how bad and how evil Rita is. But I love this book because, you know, we are moving a little ahead with them on the moon. But let's go ahead and move back. At one point, it's actually moving forward. Because they do end up going on to the moon as the Power Rangers. And I will say, it is the first time technically that this team is on the moon. But I will say this team is on the moon. There's a tease for Kyle Higgins' run. But, the Rangers, being Trini and Jason, actually train and find out what they can do. You have never seen this in any show. Like, they have never actually trained with their suits on and, like, done a montage like this. And in here, you see them...
Well,
like,
didn't they do something like that in the movies?
In the movie? In the movie, yes. In the movie, they did.
Yeah.
In the most recent movie. But here you see Trini and Jason, like, they're lifting boulders. They're talking about the inside of their helmet and how it looks. They're, you know, they fought underwater. They did all these cool things that, you know, us as fans, we always wanted to know, okay, what does it look like? What does it feel like? And
with that said, Mora does a really good job drawing underwater.
Yes. I love that one little panel that shows that they are underwater.
Yeah.
But it was a question like, okay, well, if they are able to go into space, what else can they do? And, you know, Trini is, you know, asking, okay, does this mean that we have individual abilities? Can we, you know, shoot lasers from our eyes and, like, do all this sorts of stuff? And I love that Ryan went into that because it wasn't just like, okay, we're superheroes. We're good. You know, we can do whatever. It was something that they really wanted to question and get better at. That was something that I liked as far as the character development here in the story.
On top of that, who from here, okay, I'm guessing it might be Matt, but who do you enjoy reading the most?
Who do I enjoy reading?
Yeah, like when you're looking at the characters, like who?
I enjoy reading, I'll give you three. I enjoy reading Jason, I enjoy reading Billy, and I enjoy reading Matt. Jason, because he is my number one favorite character in all of the franchise. Billy, because he is a character that is very much a, like, when compared to everybody else, he's the one that stands out, to be honest. When looking at the group as a whole, he is younger. He, you know, is kind of the nerd. So he does think of things differently. Definitely. And so I love reading his character. And I love reading Matt because he is so much out of the loop. And he starts to figure that out. Like, I think him and Zach are, like, tossing the football on the field. And he's like, every single time I walk up on you guys, like, everything comes out, like, everything turns out weird. Like, what's going on? Why are y'all talking about me? And he's like, we're not.
See,
you know?
See, like, the thing is, like, I enjoyed Matt more. I think that Ryan immediately nails the dynamic between him and Kimberly.
Yeah.
I thoroughly enjoyed reading that. It kind of felt like Steve and the other ice cream girl from like Stranger Things. Like, I thoroughly mm-hmm. enjoyed their chemistry
yeah.
in the show. So here I was like, oh, wow. Like, it's, I find it very impressive that you can immediately make them, like, you immediately, I guess, like, ship them. Like, oh, I'm like, oh, man, I dig this. I dig this couple being together. Like,
and,
I like it.
And what I love, what I love about Matt is when you first see him, he has the Letterman jacket, and you can tell he's kind of buddy-buddy with Zach. And the first time you see Zach, he's kind of full of himself. So you immediately think, oh, Ryan is going to be this kid that is the high school jock. He's going to be one of those that, you know, starts to be the bully. But he immediately, like, is really close with Billy. Like, the very first time you see him, he's like, hey, you know, you look a little washed up because he got thrown the balloon at him, hit the water balloon. He's like, hey, so, you know, to help you out, I'll let you wear my hat. So that way it doesn't look like you are soaking wet. So you see the compassion from him also throughout this whole thing. I really like that Ryan didn't go the stereotypical route with, you know, the high school jock, and instead went to somebody who is willing to be friends with anybody. And so I really enjoyed that. You got to see a little bit of background with Bulk and Skull. Really just Skull, because you find out that him and Billy used to be really good friends. When they were kids. Mm-hmm. That is somewhat played with Go-Go. I can't remember if it was really played with in Mighty Morphin. But, because at one point, like right after the flashback, I think, you see Billy open his locker and all the set, like there's sand or something or dirt or dust, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Just falls out.
Yeah, he references what they did when
they were
the fire lava, yeah. lava something.
Yeah, and I love those moments as well. And I think that's why I also like reading Billy at the moment, is because there's so much background that is connecting him to another character that I want to like see more of that, you know?
Yeah, I actually really enjoyed reading Zach. And I know that Zach at first, I think the reason why I really liked enjoying, because I always felt maybe, again, maybe like in the 90s, just everybody wanted to be like the flashy one.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he was, I don't remember, was he like the Triceratops?
No.
What was the black? No, it was like a frog or something.
He's Mastodon. He's the Mastodon. But he's the dancer. He's the one that dances. In the show.
Yeah, but I think it was just like, I think like back then, like in the original, like the old one, I think you just always felt like a background player.
Yeah.
Like it was always like no one, at least at like the church, no one wanted to be Billy and no one wanted to be Zach.
Yeah.
And so it was kind of like, for me, I felt like that was my connection point. So now I'm seeing a much more confident, and I was like, oh man, this guy's kind of cool that I dug knowing that like, Zach is not, like, just a pushover.
And it does,
like he was back then, or at least my recollection.
Yeah, and it does go to a point where, like, you know, after the city is attacked again, and, you know, Jason, unfortunately, is with his principal and civilians, Zach kind of takes point. And he is able to move the team along. And he goes to Zordon, and he's like, hey, like, Jason wasn't here, and I was. Why can't I be the leader? Which shows a little bit of cockiness. In a silly way, it reminds me of when Dwight goes to Jan and tries to get the job. But Zordon tells him, the reason why Jason is the leader is because he used to be just like Rita Repulsa. He used to be the bully. He used to be the big shot that didn't care about anybody. And he has a lot of resentments, and he's trying to atone for those. So I'm giving him that chance to atone for those wrongs that he did as a kid,
which was nice, because with the trainer, when the guy that ran the youth center
mm-hmm.
and kept on asking him, he's like, you're the handsomest guy ever, you're this, like, why are you always doing that? And he did reference like a story, and he mentioned like the story of like a bully. I don't recall everything that was said, but he did mention that at the end of it he was like, well, no, I was the bully.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh snap, like I didn't know that. So I kind of, it does give him, like, a new, you know, like a new, like, oh man, like, because I don't know, Jason's like, I see Jason in the way that he's drawn and all that. There's something to him that like draws you to him.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Like, for me, I see Jason and the way he's, like, very stoic. I kind of feel, although, yes, he did go a little rogue later, like, in the moon part. Mm. And I love that Zach called him out on it. But in a good way. It was, like, you could tell, like, this is, like, a team kind of thing. But, I don't know, the way he's handled, I don't know, you kind of get a little bit of, like, that Batman vibe.
Yeah, he's very much that stoic character. Because you see him be, like, he's always training. He's always training when you see him, because he's either in the youth center or he's training with Trini. So everywhere else, he's either being a ranger or he's just talking to his friends. So you see him very much as that Batman character, as the Red Ranger, but then you also see him as the Bruce Wayne, just, you know, being very stoic, being a leader, being the guy that usually has the ideas. And...
No, well, that's what I was going to say, because I felt like you see moments of, like, the Batman, but you also see, like, that Captain America.
Oh, yeah.
So, it's kind of like, I feel, and since I love those characters, and, I mean, Captain America is one of my favorite, well, I mean, he's, like, 1B to my Thor being 1A, a favorite Marvel character, it's, I don't know, it's kind of like I was drawn to him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also enjoyed the stories with both Trini and Kimberly. Like, we learn that Kimberly's parents are not great. Mm-hmm. They are kind of butting heads a little bit. And, you know, there's a very embarrassing moment at a restaurant that they're at, and they accidentally get Zach fired. And that was mm-hmm. the flashback, because they also act like, in front of Matt, that it was like their first time meeting Kimberly when he introduced her as his girlfriend. Because they're like, oh, wait, is that Salad Girl? And then you eventually get to see what happens with that whole salad.
Yeah, thing. I was really confused by that at first when I'm like, wait, I mean, people are like, wait, you're Salad Girl? I was like, what the hell? I felt like I missed something in the book. Like, was it like Sticky Pages or something? Because I had no idea. Yeah, I didn't know what they were referencing to.
But I really enjoyed, because recently Ryan said that he had to, like, he had it planned like that, but he eventually had to, like, be like, okay, how soon am I going to show that incident with the salad and Zach? And I'm glad that he paid it off almost, like, immediately, like, within the next issue or so, because I felt like that shows how good Zach can be, as far as like, yeah, this person got me fired from my job, but I'm still gonna be there for her when she absolutely needs it, kind of thing, you know? So
absolutely,
I love that about these characters. And Trini, there's a whole lot of screen time or panel time with Trini and her mom. You see the relationship that they have. And you kind of get a hint at what relationship they had before that, you know, before high school or whatever. And she is not okay with lying to her mom about, you know, about staying home late, you know, being the superhero. She has to lie about all that, because one of the rules of being a Power Ranger is that you can't share your...
Yeah, you forfeit everything if you share.
Yeah. So that...
Which, didn't they break... They kind of break that in the movie, right? Because didn't... Now, I'm going to preface this. I didn't see the movie. I'm going by a trailer. Where I believe that was Kimberly who said, oh, I'm kind of like a superhero. And then she... The mom's like, pee in this cup.
Oh, yeah. It was just basically... It wasn't Kimberly. It was Trini, the Yellow Ranger. It was basically like a... You know, it was more of a sarcastic thing, and then she thought she was on drugs type, like...
Got it, okay.
So, no, they didn't, like, actually break the rule or anything there in the movie, but...
Now, but will Zordon know?
It's hard... Zordon, and it's explained a lot better in the Mighty Morphin book, because they do talk about, you know, him being encased in this sort of dimension thing. It plays a lot into Shattered Grid, actually.
Now, did Rita really put Zord on there?
In a way, yes. Yeah.
Okay. So, I didn't know if she was just saying that when she confronted Jason and they were kind of, you know,
yeah,
going against each other. I didn't know what was real.
It is wonky because, like, the story of him actually going into that actually gets paid off in a, like, Free Comic Book Day book as well. And because of that, comic shops, like, took half of their Free Comic Book Day issues and then started selling them for, like, $4. Which absolutely, like, enraged me. But I'm glad that I got mine. But yeah, I can't say enough about this book. I absolutely love it. You know, we are left on the cliffhanger. And also, before I talk about the cliffhanger, there is a moment where you actually get to see the different Zords, like, break down and then turn into the Megazord in, like, a weird, like, schematics-type splash page.
That is a very cool, like, architectural pic.
I want that framed. I want that, like, whether it be the original art or not, I just want it framed. I want a huge, like, blown up and framed. That looks awesome. I think that was another one that I saw, like, the first time, I think it was, like, issue, like, almost 4 or 5, I think it was, because I think it's, like, the last issue.
No, it's the fourth one.
Okay, yeah.
I'm looking at it right now, yeah.
So, like, just seeing that.
And it's
awesome.
And it's kind of, like, the Zord, I mean, now, this is going to be a really stupid question, but now, did the Power Rangers at all, because since they are both IDW, no, this
Boom.
Is Boom.
Boom Studios.
This is Boom.
Yeah, Boom Studios.
Okay. No, that's right. I got confused with Transformers. They're IDW. yeah, so never mind. I just answered my own question.
What were you going to ask?
It's all right. Shut your face. Don't worry about it.
But we are left.
No, I was gonna ask if there was like a crossover kind of thing, or like if the Zords were kind of like an idea
of,
like,
Megabots.
You know, sometimes like these come.
I'm sure they were, because you have to remember that the Power Rangers are based off of a Japanese show, not even a kid's show. It is not a kid's show in Japanese, called Super Sentai, and it was made way before Mighty Morphin. There was, like, I think 10 seasons before Mighty Morphin. Or
See, that makes sense now when... See, like, that makes sense where... Because for me, it always annoyed me. Well, I think you're kind of used to now the way I view things when I'm watching movies and how something can easily turn me off.
Uh-huh.
And what started getting me is, I guess, when I was more in high school and, you know, I dropped off like you did. But when it's, like, trying to revisit and they're just jumping out of nowhere, but then they're just doing, like, all these karate moves. Like, they're doing all these martial art moves, mm-hmm. but there's no one there. They're just, like, doing it. And I was like, this is so stupid. Like, what are they fighting? They're kicking, but there's nothing there.
A lot of that,
but I get
a lot
it.
Of that footage is actually from the Super Sentai. They paid them to, like, because if you look at the quality of it in some shots,
it always changes. It's really grainy.
Yeah. It is really grainy. It is legit the footage from the Super Sentai, and they just dub over it. So,
yeah. Look at that. The more you know.
So, I actually have been thinking about going back, but fun little trivia, Stan Lee wanted to purchase the Super Sentai idea and make it into Power Rangers, and that is why when eventually Saban did buy Power Rangers and create it, it's why the first issues of Power Rangers, whenever you look at how far the comics go, the first series was at Marvel for, like, I think 6 issues. So
nice.
So yeah, there was a series right before what we would call Mighty Morphin called Sun Vulcan, with just 3 Power Rangers, red, blue, and yellow. And Stan Lee really liked that, and he wanted to purchase those characters and evolve them into his, like, Marvel comics. But they didn't allow them to. And then eventually we got Power Rangers. So It's really, really cool.
Now, well, let's do this. Why don't you start leading us into the cliffhanger part, and then we can in regards to this.
In the cliffhanger, because what happens at the second attack of the city, Matt tries to protect Kim, because, of course, he doesn't know that she is a Power Ranger, and he gets knocked unconscious and possibly a concussion. So he is sent to the hospital, and lo and behold, while they were in the midst of battle and all of this stuff, Rita has a minion that is, spoilers, I will say, because you do see it a little bit when you actually see her for the very first time. Let me see if I can actually see it. This woman is kind of like trying to find the Rangers for her.
Mm-hmm.
And if you notice, when they first show her, she is actually made up of putties.
Yep.
So then you see Matt, you know, talking to Kimberly and Jason in the hospital. And then the very last, second to last panel, you see his voice bubble or his dialogue bubble turn pink or purple or whatever. And then it moves to Rita Repulsa. She's actually the one talking through him. And you realize, okay, that is not actually Matt. Matt is actually at the moon. He is at the moon. He is held captive. And now they, you know, Rita is basically going to be spying on the Rangers to see who they, you know, who are their loved ones, you know, how, what is their weaknesses, what is their strengths type of thing. So it's getting pretty intense. And I love that panel, that very last panel, just showing Matt like hanging on the wall with all the putties.
It's very creepy. Yeah. It's very creepy. But yeah, man, I thought, again, I read it, I was like, oh, snap. And at first, I thought it was going to be revealed that Matt was bad. Because I noticed the purple as well. Mm-hmm. And I thought that he was just actually, like, maybe, like, the King Putty.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like, that's kind of, like, what I thought. But then I saw, like, oh, interesting. But I will admit, now that I'm looking at it, I didn't even take it as that was Rita speaking.
Yeah.
I took it as like he was speaking, but it was more like if his flesh was there, but like his spirit was gone.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then I'm looking at the ball, and I'm remembering that Rita had that crystal ball where she can kind of see things, mm-hmm. and whatever of what's going on, because that's how she always knew that her team was losing back then.
Yeah.
So I forgot about that. So for me, I'm seeing, I don't know why I never connected, but seeing like Kimberly and seeing Zach there, I thought this was more because Rita was always talking about like breaking them from within.
Yeah.
So I thought she was turning it more into like he's already feeling that Kimberly, although, you know, they're going on and off, but with Kimberly ditching him twice, and he even said, well, I do dislike you sometimes, like something like that, and now you're seeing Kim and Zach together.
Yeah.
I thought that maybe she was trying to plant like that love triangle thing.
Yeah. Okay. I can see
that.
I don't know.
I don't know why I took that, but then I don't know why with you saying it. And then my recollection of the show back then was, oh yeah, she had that little sphere where she would just see everything.
The viewing globe. Yeah. Both her and Zordon have one. So.
Yeah. I dig it, man. This was a rad story. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I mean, I am 100% going to be getting the other ones.
Yeah.
Because I do want to read this. And then I'll just have to have you be my guide on how to read this. Because if you're combining elements that go back to the Kyle Higgins stuff, I don't want this to get overwhelming.
Now,
where
I also
none of this makes sense.
I'll actually tag you in it. But recently there was somebody who talked to Rob. If you remember Rob, he did some of our reviews back when we had the website. Somebody yep. asked him about the reading order of Power Rangers, and he said, oh, well, you know, Jake and Clay would know a little bit about that. And I actually posted a reading order from comicbook.com. They really went pretty well with how you should read both Mighty Morphin and Go-Go Power Rangers up until the end of Shattered Grid. So I have that on there that I can tag you in, and then I'm also looking at the reading order for Necessary Evil because I need to go back and do that myself. I need to read that also.
Okay.
So,
all right.
We will definitely look into it, and then possibly depending on how far this whole no new comics thing goes. Maybe we can dive into the first volume of Mighty Morphin soon. But it would technically be your turn to choose what book to read. Or what volume or whatever to look at next week. So.
Okay. Then let me... I'm trying to like think of like ways that we just do like one publisher at a time.
Yeah.
So I mean, like, we've done the Marvel, we've done Boom, to try to like jump into, just trying to, you know, hit like different spheres so that people can kind of not only think of just, oh, comics is just DC, Marvel, and like Image.
Yeah.
There are other ones
for sure.
So let me let me think on which one I would like to do, because more than likely it's gonna be. I kind of feel like after doing this, I want to kind of go for like a dark one.
Yeah, I'm good.
So let's
do it.
So we'll do something like that. And also maybe one of these episodes we can kind of integrate now with this time, kind of like a Q&A.
Yeah.
So we could get some, questions on via social media and, you know, where you can reach Clay at, what is it? Fanboy Clay?
Yeah, Fanboy Clay. I also have, of course, my own podcast, Fanboy Comics Podcast, on Twitter as well. I also have Instagram. My wife has been hounding me about using all sorts of social media to, you know, push my podcast. So I do have it.
Well, which you guys should check out, because, I mean, this guy, I mean, last week, after the whole debacle with all this internet garbage, I mean, I think we spoke for like 30 minutes after. And just looking at all the art that Clay does, it's rad.
Yeah,
it's really good.
I have a lot of my art on Instagram at Fanboy Clay. And then I do have one for the podcast, which has a link directly to the podcast so you guys can listen. And that's at Fanboy Comics Podcast as well. Where can they find you, Mark?
You can find me at Mark Reads Comics. I have been totally, like, off Twitter. Like, I don't know if you've noticed, it's been, like,
very... I have.
It's been, like, really rare. It's, you know, I guess it's just trying to find, like, you know, that nice zone where I know that sometimes Twitter or just social media can just be one of those rabbit holes. And I don't know, I think it's with everything that's happened, you know, with my dad and stuff like that. It's kind of like, I feel like I'm just cherishing this with what we're doing,
also, you know, there's no sports, so there's not a whole lot to talk about on Twitter for you, I understand. But
well, I don't even talk that much sports because I feel I'm already dealing with the pettiness of comic books and comic book movie people.
Yeah.
That I can't. I feel like sports fans are just as irrational.
Well,
and I mean, I'm one of them where I just feel like I can't have three sets of petty.
I will say though, since I introduced you to Twitch, if you have the time. I know that both MLB and NFL were having, like, their own games on, like, MLB The Show and Madden.
Oh, man, I've been going crazy on MLB The Show. Like, I play that all the time.
Yeah, so I think that the actual, like, conglomerate of MLB, they got together with some people from two different teams, and they're, like, talking about, like, playing an actual game. So that way...
Interesting.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah,
because right now with MLB The Show, I'm doing Road to the Show, which is kind of like you create your guy coming out of college.
I've,
you know,
really,
getting drafted from
I've
high
really
school.
Considered buying MLB 20, The Show. Like, I've really considered it. Like,
it's a lot of fun. But what makes it even more fun is like my dad watching it, because my dad, he still calls my PlayStation Nintendo.
That's awesome.
So, I mean, my dad only remembers, like, Bases Loaded Baseball from, like, the NES.
Yeah.
Like, he does. So, when you're going into what it looks like now, where these guys look real, and you're seeing fans move, you see the guy screaming popcorn,
yeah.
You know, just, like, from the concession stands. And, like, he's been following the journey. And it just so happened that my guy got drafted by the team that my dad is actually... the coordinator of the minor leagues, which is the Cincinnati Reds.
That's awesome.
So it's funny because we're actually playing and he sees the guys that he's actually coaching.
Oh, that's cool. That's actually really cool.
And what's
now,
even cooler that I had no idea is that my dad's not, because he's more now like he's no longer a coach.
Oh, okay.
Like he got promoted to now he's like the overseer of all of all the minor league pitchers.
Okay, okay.
So he's not there. But what's awesome, which is, like, I have to keep this game. Like, this is a game I cannot sell because I have my cousin is in the video game.
That is cool.
So I was actually, because in Road to the Show, you choose, like, what kind of player do you want to be? Do you want to be the captain, the heart and soul? Do you want to be the Maverick or, like, the lightning rod?
Mm-hmm.
And after your game, they always give you an option to choose, like, from, like, five players to talk to build relationships with.
Yeah.
And it just so happened that one of the players that got selected was my cousin. And I'm like, how weird is this that I'm actually, like, Aaron Fossus? Like, I'm looking at my cousin right here in AA. Like, I'm like, dude, you're in a video game.
That is awesome.
I had to text him because I thought that that was one of the coolest things. So it's like, for example, like, I have from the Sega, because that's how old my dad is, mm-hmm. from the Sega to Triple Play Baseball 98. I'm sorry, MVP Baseball.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's MVP Baseball, 98. I have all those because my dad's in it.
That's cool.
And then now I have to keep this one just because my cousin's in it. So, yeah, I'm playing a lot of MLB The Show. Like, I finally made it to the majors. So
that's awesome.
That's, yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, I've kind of, like, I've tried to convince my little brother to be like, hey, you want to play with me? You want to play with me? You want to play? He's like, nah, I'm cool. I'm playing Call of Duty. I'm playing Rainbow Six Siege. I'm like, oh, whatever. Cause,
man, you know, man, Rainbow Six was a game, but what system do you have?
I have a PS4.
What?
Yeah.
And we haven't connected?
No, we haven't.
Well, I don't have, like, Apex. I don't have any of those, like, games that you play.
Hey, tell me what game to play, and I'll see what I can do.
Well, what do you have?
I have, like, Red Dead Redemption. I have Injustice.
You know, I have that, and I still haven't played it.
Red Dead Redemption 2?
Well, as you could see, I can be podcasting, and I have a random 9-year-old that comes up.
That is true. That is true. No, like, so, I remember, because I don't play a whole lot of games in front of Abby, but I remember playing Red Dead Redemption 2 in front of Abby, and they were just cussing up a storm, and Abby just, like, stopped right in her tracks, because she was doing laundry, and she just stopped right in front of the TV, and she looked at me, and she's like, what are you playing? And I was like,
No, that happened with, like, my wife never watches me because she thinks video games are stupid, which is understandable. But I was playing Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah.
The recent one, I think it was, like, 5.
Yeah. I have that, too.
And I know, like, I have, it's Franklin.
Oh, the three guys, yeah.
The three guys. So it was when I was, like, the redneck dude, like, the trashy guy, yeah. the guy that's hilarious.
He also played a part in Walking Dead recently, I think, like, in season 7.
Yes, he was Negan's right-hand guy,
yeah.
Which was killing me. I was like, this guy looks like somebody. But then I had to figure out who it was, because he even spoke like Trevor.
Yeah.
Trevor. Yeah, so my wife heard it. She's like, what are you playing? You have your son in this house? What father's going to have their son listen to this?
That's
She's
awesome.
Like, turn this off. I'm like, oh, God. Yeah.
Oh, man.
So it's very hard to play. So the only opportunity I get to play games, like, I've been playing a lot of Division 2.
Okay. Yeah.
So the only time I get an opportunity to play those games are, like, Saturday night. Since I am, believe it or not, I am like you, and I am a night owl. Mm-hmm. But the problem is that when you work at 4 o'clock in the morning, you can't really do anything.
Oh no! I recently, as in last night, I recorded with Juice, and then I was like, "Man, I still need to record my show for noon tomorrow." So I started recording, and then after I recorded, I watched, like, one person stream for, like, 45 minutes, and then I looked at the clock and I was like, "Mark is waking up right now. I need to go to bed."
Yeah, so on Saturday night, it's one of those things, like, I'll teach, and then I take, like, a nap, like, in, like, around noon,
mm-hmm.
just because I'm like, I am freaking doing this. So my wife and son, they go to bed, like, at 10, and I'm up till, like, 4:30 in the morning, because that's the only time I could play games where someone is getting decapitated. I need, like, I I need to shoot people in the face.
Oh my gosh.
It's the only opportunity I can shoot someone in the face is on Saturday night.
That's awesome. But yeah,
besides that, everything else is like sports or like Lego Avengers, Lego Jurassic
World
or something.
If we
can
connect on a Lego game, as silly as it sounds, I absolutely love those games. They're stupid, but I love them. So,
oh, they're great, man. I thoroughly enjoy them.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, we have to connect.
All right, yeah, for sure.
So, I'll shoot you my PSN network name, whatever they call
cool.
it.
Cool. All right, guys. Well, with that, I'm sorry that you had a whole earful of video game talk. But, you know, it's quarantine, and we said we'd never really connect other than this podcast. So, you know, it's good to always, you know, talk to people. I know a lot of people are calling this social distancing. But really, technically, with stuff like this nowadays, it's really physical distancing. So, you know, that you still need to be social. You still need to keep sane through all this time. So, you guys stay safe, stay clean, and make sure you wear masks. I will say that. All right?
Yes.
Y'all have a good day.
See you later.